a believing heart, a turned heart, a confessing heart. And I think Jacob looked at his son and said, everyone needs to understand this throughout history. When you study Judah, history needs to consider the kind of broken and contrite heart God loves and he'll never despise.
You're called in to hear the reading of the will of your rich uncle. You can't help but wonder what was left to you. Well, here in Genesis 49, Jacob calls his sons together to read to them his will of sorts. Each one is given a blessing and a promise for the future. And the question is, how do you figure into this will, this reading of blessings? Well, that is what Pastor Chris Gordon will take a look at today here on Abounding Grace. Welcome to the program. The Last Days According to Jacob, the title of our message. We're here in Genesis chapter 49, verses 1 through 28. Here's Pastor Chris now with today's broadcast.
Genesis chapter 49, beginning at verse 1 this morning. Then Jacob called his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall happen to you in days to come. Assemble and listen, O sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the first fruits of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. Unstable as water, you shall not have preeminence because you went up to your father's bed. Then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are their swords. Let my soul not come into their counsel. O my glory, be not joined to their company. For in their anger they killed men, and in their willfulness they hamstrung oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion, as a lioness. Who dares rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples, binding his foal to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He has washed his garments in wine, and his vesture in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk. Zebulun shall dwell at the shore of the sea. He shall become a haven for ships, and his border shall be at Sidon. Issachar is a strong donkey, crouching between the sheepfolds. He saw that a resting place was good, and that the land was pleasant, so he bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant at forced labor. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent in the way, a viper by the path that bites the horse's heel so that his rider falls backwards. I wait for your salvation, O Lord. Raiders shall raid Gad, but he shall raid at their heels. Asher's food shall be rich, and he shall yield royal delicacies. Naphtali is a doe let loose that bears fruitful fawns. Joseph is a fruitful bow by a spring. His branches run over the wall. The archers bitterly attacked him, shot at him, and harassed him severely. Yet his bow remained unmoved. His arms were made agile by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father who will help you, by the Almighty who will bless you, with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that crouches beneath, blessings of the beasts and of the womb. The blessings of your father are mighty beyond the blessings of my parents, up to the bounties of everlasting hills. May they be on the head of Joseph and on the brow of him who was set apart from his brothers. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf in the morning, devouring the prey, and at evening dividing the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what their father said to them as he blessed them, blessing each with a blessing suitable to him. Then he commanded them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah to the east of Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought, with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. The most remarkable phenomenon in Genesis is that from beginning after the fall, Genesis 3, God has been absolutely determined to bless his people and bring his people back to him. I mean, this has been the story that has unraveled throughout Genesis, and it has been beautiful and powerful to study. It's remarkable because Genesis began on such a negative note. It began on such an awful note, the fall of man into sin and how man wrecked everything and the mess that we created. And yet, what have you studied in the first book of the Bible? Over and over and over and over, you've studied. And now as we come to the 49th chapter of Genesis, the Lord's relentless pursuit and desire to fulfill the blessings that he promised to Father Abraham. Remember all the promises? I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. You will bless them. I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I mean, just wonderful that he said that. But as I opened up the 49th chapter and I read that today, did you think at all, what in the world is he going to say about all this? That's how I felt. I was stuck. I got stuck last week. I had to mow the lawn to get out of my study. And as I got stuck, I wrestled with, what in the world is Jacob doing here? I mean, it's somewhat confusing. You have a prophetic explanation of the covenant blessings and curses, how they're going to develop throughout history. And initially I thought, well, you do see in this God's desire to bless. You see God's desire to bless. This is a book about God returning blessing on our heads instead of cursing. The last words of Genesis, you're going to see, the last section there, Joseph's going to say, God meant it all for good. What a way to end a book that began with a fall into sin and then say, God meant it all for good. Powerful stuff. But there's something he desires for us to understand. It's been the kind of believing heart that he is after from us. As he fulfills his promises, as he fulfills his good word. And as I came back to Genesis 49, and I looked at it, I thought, that's exactly what he's teaching us. He is showing us belief, and he's showing us his promise, but he's also showing us the peril of unbelief. And how in history, covenant blessings and curses work out according to that. In verse 1 of chapter 49, you'll notice here, Jacob summoned all his sons and he gathered them together. And we read something fascinating in verse 1 that he said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall happen to you in the days to come. Some translations say, and I think it captures because it really is something the scriptures emphasize. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you in the last days. It's a fascinating statement because I'm going to tell you, says Jacob, what is going to be the outcome of history. He speaks as a prophet. It's fascinating. You sons of Jacob, you sons of Israel, you're forming history. You are going to be the ones that form history. The future of Israel, all that's going to come to pass, it will have to do with what happens to you. Now that's important. It's a remarkable statement, isn't it? It's all the peoples that live on the face of the earth. This is it. This is where it all goes. This is where God has his attention. This is where God is working his plan out. Now, it's important here because what we have is a series of blessings that are falling on his sons. In fact, if you look down at verse 28, did you catch at the very end, even though some of it was shocking to us, at the very end he says that this is a description, these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and what Moses wanted everyone to understand, Moses the author, remember, every last one of them is blessed. Did you catch that? And he blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. Every last one of them blessed. I'm going to give you eternal life. Remember the promises. Land, seed, multitude, stars, Abraham, in the heavens is what your descendants will be like. You go out to the sand and you grab the sand on the seashore. That's what your descendants are going to be like. That's what's going to all happen through your sons. But Jacob now says, let me tell you how this is going to go. You need to understand this. And the whole story of God's redemption, his plan of redemption, is here described for us. The whole story, as Jacob is blessing his sons, is learned here and seen here. That's the scene. He's dying. It's the third and final deathbed scene in this section. He's about to breathe his last. The first two deathbed scenes were glorious. I mean, seriously, there's nobody else outside of Christ himself who gets this kind of attention at death in the Bible. No one. He gets three deathbed scenes. And the focus is on it. It's one of the most glorious deaths in the scriptures. He had bowed in submission. He had believed. We had one of the most beautiful testimonies last time. And then he begins now to bless and fulfill and show the design of what God promised to Abraham, how it's going to expand throughout history. So he summons up enough strength to, for the last time, take these feet that had been running all his life, places them down, and he begins to bless. He begins to bless. We're probably not familiar with this kind of approach, blessings and birthrights and blessings and all this that's in the Bible. We don't get this living in the United States, the blessings and how this all works. I mean, the other night I was sitting with my children and I says, well, maybe one day the Lord will arrange it so that when I'm on my deathbed, you know, and you guys are all gathered around and I get to say words to you. And I said to my children, I says, well, what do you think I'm going to say to you? What do you think I do at that time? And my daughter says, well, that's, Dad, when you start giving us stuff. You give us tables and stuff. She's so American. I told her I was going to do this, so she's okay with it. That's not what's going on here. He's passing on spiritual blessings. And you'll notice here in this section that he begins to bless each of his sons in order. Notice where he starts. Reuben. You'll see that there in verse 2. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the first fruits of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power, unstable as water. You shall not have preeminence because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it, he went up to my couch. You imagine? I mean, you stand back from that and you're sitting there. That's not blessing. He's cursing. He just cursed his son. You see why I was struggling? My might, my strength, my dignity. You have shown no stability in your life, son. And guess what? I'm yanking from you the right of the firstborn. It's gone. He just took it. Taken. Remember what he did? Well, he went in and when he went into Bilhah, his father's maid, the maid? It wasn't a momentary fling. He was positioning himself. He was positioning himself to be the one. Taken. Right there, you just saw the right of the firstborn ripped away from this man. Jacob then moves on. Simeon and Levi. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are their swords. Let my soul not come into their counsel. Oh, my glory be not joined to their company. For in their anger they killed men, and in their willfulness they hamstrung oxen. Here's the word. Cursed be their anger, for it's fierce, and their wrath, for it's cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. That's got to be the worst thing. He just cursed them worse. Stand back. You look at all this and you start to ask the question, what is going on here? Why is he doing this? Aren't his sons blessed? Isn't this about blessing? And then you think about Jacob's own life, and maybe you think, well, this is a little hypocritical. I mean, this was the guy who stole the birthright. This was the guy who lived a life of running from God. And Jacob was the one who didn't do it. Listen at all to the Lord. And a whole life of struggle was Jacob's life. And here he is now looking at his sons and doing this to them. So when you read this, you initially stop and you say, well, I'm a little bit puzzled here. Where's grace? This is cursing. Then you come to the worst sinner of all of them. The worst, Judah, left the land, ran out, ran away. I mean, in our time, this is running away from the church, running out and shacking up with a prostitute, marrying pagan, trashing the covenant. Judah, your brother shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down before you. Judah's a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you've gone up. He stooped down and crouched as a lion, as a lioness. Who dares rouse Judah? And you say, what in the world is that? What is the one thing that we saw from Judah that we saw from nobody else? Remember what happened? Reuben's sin. It says Jacob heard about it. That's all it said. When Reuben did the sin and Jacob heard about it, 40 years almost to a T, absolute silence, Reuben demonstrated nothing. It was Reuben who tried selfishly to keep Joseph alive for his own purposes. No repentance. I didn't see faith. Simeon and Levi, silent after their sins. Nothing. I mean, nothing. Actually argued. But something was different about Judah, remember? Remember Judah. Judah was so remarkable in this whole thing. After his sin was exposed with Tamar, something happened. And remember what happened? The first thing he said was, you are more righteous than I, he said to Tamar, because I didn't give my son to her. Judah never wanted to kill Joseph. He was the one that when the whole test had come down on them and they were caught, he was the one that led the brothers. And remember what he did? He offered himself as a substitute for Benjamin, because in love for his father, he did not want to see his father suffer. And the highlight of his life, this great sinner, the highlight of his life was when he said this, before Joseph, how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. We're guilty. We're guilty. Here we are at your mercy. I can't do this to my father. I'll intercede. Put me there. Send Benjamin back. I don't want him suffering. What do you have? You've got the gospel story. The worst of sinners with the single great broken and contrite heart that we see from these sons. The believing heart, and gets the most remarkable of all blessings. As I studied this, I thought, it's everything God's after from us. a believing heart, a turned heart, a confessing heart. And I think Jacob looked at his son and said, everyone needs to understand this throughout history. When you study Judah, you need to understand this throughout history. History needs to consider the kind of broken and contrite heart God loves and he'll never despise. I don't know if we think enough about covenant curses. But God did say to Abraham, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. You have here the outplaying of covenant curses and blessings in history. That's what he's talking about, how that's going to take shape. And if you ever thought about the tragic outplay of the tribe of Reuben, you know, he was the one who summoned up, who Korah went to summon up in his rebellion. It was Reuben and Levi, the leaders of Reuben and Levi that headed up the Korah rebellion against God and Moses. It's a sad story if you study that tribe of shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking to nothing. Simeon and Levi, neither of these tribes were given portions in the land. Simeon dwindled out of existence and Levi was forbidden to have an inheritance in it. And I can't help when I come to the New Testament and I see this outplay of curses, and the New Testament says that many did not enter because of unbelief, that this is what the outplay looked like. And as Jacob looked forward to the development of Israel, this was going to be the struggle of Israel, isn't it? Would they turn to their God? Would they love their God? Would they confess their sins? What would they do with the law when it was published? Would it be a means of their own righteousness, or would they humble themselves, bowing the knee, and look to the one that is provided for their answer to their misery? And at this point, I think it's important to ask, well, what does our life show? If that's the struggle of history, it's our struggle. It's the struggle of whether we believe or are hardening our hearts and turning our hearts away from him. And the first place you go with a text like this is God puts before you the greatest of sinners, the greatest of sinners, and you don't see that kind of heart. You see a broken and a contrite one.
Well, may we all learn from Judah and humble ourselves before God in the same fashion that we see here in Genesis chapter 49. You're listening to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who will return in just a moment with a look ahead to our next broadcast. Questions, comments about the program, as always, are more than welcome. We'd love to hear from you. How's the program encouraging you in your walk and relationship with Christ? Reach out to us. Let us know, won't you? Our number is 888-504-8805. Or you can visit us online, agradio.org. Now, that is a great resource to have handy. Not only do we have past programs available online at our website, we also have jumping off points to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as recent articles written by Pastor Chris and other friends of the ministry. Again, agradio.org. We also would like to remind you that you're a very key part of this ministry, Abounding Grace Radio. Through your financial partnership with us and prayerful support, we are able to continue this ministry, not only on this station, but others as well. So would you please consider partnering with us financially, whether it's a one-time gift, a monthly gift, no gift is too small or too large. Reach out to us again at agradio.org or call us at 888-504-8805. As promised now, once again, here's Pastor Chris to look forward to our next broadcast.
The amazing truth of our gospel is God promised an answer to us. God didn't leave us in our misery. And he promised a son to Abraham, the seed who is Christ. But that one would come from sinners. That one would come from the Judahs. But when all the brothers looked back at Joseph, and when all the brothers looked forward, and they studied the life of Joseph, they saw what that son would look like. A servant among his brethren.
And indeed, a servant is who we see in the life of Christ. More on that tomorrow here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.